but it's Rachel Blackmore and Manella Times who are out four lengths clear of Balco de Flo, and any second now Burroughs Saint back in fourth is running on empty. 150 yards to go in the National. Manella Times for J.P. McManus, Henry de Bromhead, and more significantly Rachel Blackmore, history in the National. Manella Times wins from Balco de Flo. Any second now is third, Burroughs Saint four.
History indeed in the National, because Rachel Blackmore rewrote the record books on the weekend, becoming the first female to win the British National, the biggest race in the UK. And for Lee Mottershead, he was one of a select few who were lucky enough to be on course. Of course, sadly, because of COVID, no crowds were there. But it was, for UK racing, their Michelle Payne moment. And we are very privileged to have a chat to Lee Mottershead this morning on Racing Pulse. Lee, what was that experience like on the weekend?
It was overwhelming, Michael. I would say it was one of the most important, one of the most significant moments that horse racing has had, certainly in the Northern Hemisphere, for a very, very long time. I think this was a glass ceiling that was smashed through. It felt like a watershed moment. You know, when I've been a fan, a devotee of the Grand National for as long as I remember. Growing up, it was my favourite day of the year, Grand National Day, and it really is our Melbourne Cup. It's part of sort of cultural DNA over here. It's a sporting institution. But it was a man's race, certainly in terms of jockeys, to the extent that people always have talked about National Velvet, you know, and the fact that a film was made about this fanciful notion of a lady riding the winner of the Grand National, and even then, she was first past the post, but disqualified for being an ineligible rider. And I think that whole idea of a fictional thing that couldn't possibly come true was smashed to pieces on Saturday by a jockey who described herself as neither male nor female. She just wanted to be known as a jockey, and we can all understand that. But it was an absolutely huge moment for horse racing.
There's a great quote she had after the race where she alluded to what you said. She said, "I don't feel male or female right now. I don't even feel human. This is just unbelievable." And for the 173rd running of the great race, it's only been since 1975 that females have actually been eligible to ride in the Grand National.
That's right. 1977 was the first time a woman rode in the race. She did so to a degree of negative media coverage. Her mother used to hide the negative coverage underneath the sofa so her daughter, Charlotte Brew, wouldn't read it. And in 1982, Geraldine Reece became the first woman to get round in the Grand National. Katie Walsh was finished third. But going into this race this year, only 19 individual women had ridden in the Grand National. And I think that's partly because we do have very much a two-code sport over here. We have flat racing and jump racing. Jump racing is more popular than flat racing. It draws bigger audiences, but it's a tougher sport. And I think the perception of people for so long, trainers and owners, was that women couldn't take the falls. And that's clearly wholly wrong. You look at someone like Rachel Blackmore, and like most jump jockeys, she will crash to the ground in probably one in every 10 races. And in the last few months, she's taken some humdingers of falls. You've looked at what's happened to her, and you've winced, because this is the hardest of hard sports. You know, these are incredibly tough people. But Rachel Blackmore is as tough and as good as any of them. She's completely, I think, changed the perception of what a jump jockey can be, what a jump jockey can look like. And in that, as Michelle Payne did in Australia, as Jamie Carr is doing now, she will change the perception of what young people watching horse racing think. And there will be young girls watching the Grand National on Saturday in Britain and Ireland who think, I can be Rachel Blackmore. That's hugely important. And important for a second reason too, Michael, in that the mood in this sport over here has been very down over a number of weeks. You'll have read the stories of the horrific picture and video that came out of Ireland that really sent shockwaves through the sport. And we went into the Cheltenham Festival, our biggest jumps meeting of the season, almost fearing it could be a damage limitation exercise. Rachel Blackmore changed the mood there when becoming the meeting's top rider, becoming the first one to win the champion hurdle. But the Grand National is so much bigger than Cheltenham, so much bigger than anything else over here. And almost 9 million people on television watched her win the Grand National, and it was front page news.
I was going to say, how big has it been? Because like the Melbourne Cup, it transcends the racing bubble, the Grand National. How has it been reported over there?
It's been very, very widely reported, and it would have been even more widely reported but for the fact that on Friday, the Duke of Edinburgh died. Mm. And that has continued to dominate media coverage, news bulletins, newspapers since then. But even allowing for that, there were still pictures of Rachel Blackmore on many of the front pages over here, across the news bulletins, on television and radio. And I think Rachel Blackmore would now be a household name in most households. Even people that would know very little about horse racing would know of Rachel Blackmore now. They would know of what she'd done, because, as I say, the Grand National so transcends everything else in horse racing over here. Most people with the best one in the world wouldn't take an interest in Royal Ascot or the Derby or the Cheltenham Festival, but they would watch and have an interest in the Grand National. And they will know now that Rachel Blackmore is one of the top jockeys in the sport, and she really is. You know, she could well be Ireland's champion jump jockey this season. She sat second in that championship race. A leading jockey, Paul Townend, at the moment is off injured, so she could well smash another seeding there. And we're entering a flat season over here where Tom Markland, Aussie Tom's old friend Holly Doyle, is a contender to be champion jockey. Mm. So it does feel as though a page is turning in horse racing. It's happening here. It's happening in the Southern Hemisphere as well. And it's massively to be welcomed.
It was an amazing 24 hours in world racing after Jamie Carr won the Doncaster on Saturday to see what Rachel did overnight in the Grand National as well. And what's the background? Does she have any family racing history?
Well, I mean, like most people, you know, Ireland's a big horse country, and you'll find that most people in Ireland have got some sort of connection to horse and horse racing, but not really, no. And she's someone as well who, she's far from an overnight sensation. You know, she's 31 years old, which doesn't make her old for a jump jockey, particularly not these days, but she's certainly not a young jockey, and she rode for a long time without really breaking through. It's relatively advanced in her career before she hit the big time. That's partly due to the partnership she's got now with the trainer Henry de Bromhead, who has been smashing records over here. He was the first trainer to win the Champion Hurdle, the Champion Chase, and the Gold Cup, the big three races at Cheltenham Festival in the same season. He's now the first trainer to win all those three and the Grand National in the same season, the first trainer in well over 100 years to saddle the first and second in the Grand National. His achievements, they're Chris Waller-Aiden, a Brian Light, if you like, over jumps because of Rachel Blackmore. He's not really getting the coverage he deserves, but he wouldn't mind that. He's a very modest man, and she's a very modest lady, and I think their success is really changing the face of the sport over here at the moment.
Lee, it was a history-making Grand National on the weekend. It's great to get a first-hand report from someone who was actually there to witness it in person. And as we count down to what is going to be a spectacular weekend here in Australia, are you still in Dave's camp to beat Very Elegant?
Well, I find this very difficult, Michael, because as you might remember from our spring carnival chat last year, I adore Very Elegant. You know, Winks was my pin-up. I've got pictures of Winks all over my house. Now, Very Elegant doesn't quite fit in that mould for me, but I just think she's a fantastic racehorse. And I thought their battle last time in the Randvet, that rematch, was thrilling to watch. I suspect that ground conditions will play a part this weekend. We know that Adabe loves to get his toe in. He loves the mud. I suspect he'll be a sharper animal on Saturday compared to his return in the Randvet. I'd be split. I think the day might well just edge it on this occasion. But in horse racing, as in all sports, we love great rematches. We love these renewed rivalries. And I think when you have renewed rivalries between one horse from the Northern Hemisphere, one from the Southern Hemisphere, taking each other on, both trained by great trainers, ridden by great jockeys, it's a fantastic thing for the sport. So I shall be up very early on Saturday morning, glued to my television.
Always a pleasure to catch up, Lee. Appreciate your time once again.
Thanks, Michael.